be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways. To feel a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheeks. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on a foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten. Connecting with your souls in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Speaking of Writing, a new podcast. Speaking of Writing is open for authors from all over the world. This gives us an opportunity to broaden our experiences, to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and struggles, and realize that we all have a story, and they are all worth telling. I hope you enjoy this. And this is Rose Cushing, host of Speaking of Writing. And today we have a really interesting guest on the show called Deanie Humphreys Dunn. And Deanie wrote a book about her life at Sweetbriar. So I would like for you to tell us a little bit about you, and then we'll go from there, if that's okay.
Sure, that's fine. Thank you for having me. My book is called My Life at Sweetbriar, and it's about growing up at a horse farm called Sweetbriar, and my parents owned the farm, and when I was born with a cerebral palsy, so that makes walking a little bit tricky, and the doctors told my parents that I wouldn't be able to walk, but my dad was very determined, and he didn't accept that. He said, don't worry what they say, he says, I'm going to teach you to ride, and you'll be fine. So we started our adventure together when I was little, and I loved the horses anyway, so it was a big challenge, but we did pretty well. It took a long time for me to get where I wanted to go. Like, it took 6 years before I could jump in horse shows, and that's what I really wanted to do. In fact, my dad didn't want to teach me. He wanted to wimp out on it, and I said, you can't do that, because my parents always told me that I could do anything I wanted if I persevered, so that was the plan, and I told them, you can't do that, because you said I could do anything I wanted, and besides, he taught a blind person to jump, and I said, you can't tell me I can't do it, so he did, and we did pretty well together. We're a good team. He kept encouraging, and he kept telling me I would get there if I kept working on it. And we did. He got me a special horse. Her nickname was Peach. And we got lots and lots of championships together. So
that is incredible. So not only did you learn to ride, but you learned to become a jumper and show?
Yes. That was my big goal. After I outgrew my pony when I was 18, I asked my dad to find me a special horse for the big shows, and he said that he would. And he went all the way to Ohio to find her from Connecticut. So it was really exciting, especially because he came. I wasn't with him when he bought her. I was home working on the farm I used to teach for him.
Uh-huh.
And so I wasn't there, and when he came home, he had the trailer with no horse in it. So I was really sad, because I thought that he didn't find a horse, and when he would call up and talk to me on the phone, he would tell me about all these horses he didn't buy. So I thought he didn't find her, but then just when I was about to cry, he said, well, there was another horse that I saw in Ohio, and she... I think that she'll be just right for you, but she was in an accident with a trailer, and so she got some scrapes and everything, and we're just waiting for them to get better, for them to heal a little bit more, and then so we're gonna pick her up. So
how exciting!
I was really excited, and I asked my dad, what's her name? And he said, I don't know. And I said, how could you meet her without knowing her name?
All right.
But he did, and we had lots of adventures together, and it was fun. I wouldn't have changed anything.
What kind of horse was she?
Thoroughbred.
Nice.
And she was really pretty. She was black.
Ooh.
And he wanted a horse that the judges would remember, not just an ordinary, I mean, the color wasn't that important. The disposition and the rest of the talents were way more important. But he used to tell me that the judges would remember a black horse because there aren't that many of them.
Yeah.
And she did make her mark on things. She won all kinds of awards. We won all kinds of awards together. And I used to share her with my sisters. And they would take her in different events. And one time we each, my two sisters rode in their events and I rode in mine. And we went every single class we all went in. So we all got three championships that day.
That's fantastic. What a great story. So as you've gotten older, you decided to write children's books about your experience to help other kids, I guess.
Yes, that was the thing. I wrote the Sweetbriar story to inspire children that even if they have an obstacle to overcome, that they can still do it, not to think that they can't. Because if you try hard and if you keep working on something, you can overcome a lot of things and you can even surprise yourself sometimes.
That's fabulous. And having a supportive family that believed in you was a huge asset.
Oh, absolutely, because nobody else really thought I could do it,
right,
except for them, and they always told me you can do anything and just keep working on it, because I used to do nothing but fall off.
Yeah.
In the beginning, when I was little, when I started riding when I was about 5, after I started to walk, and all I did was fall off. I mean, the poor pony would just be walking, and I'd be splat, because my legs would get tired, and I would just slide off.
Yeah. Well, then, I think all of us have experienced that.
And then I would say to my dad, well, how come I fell off? And he'd say, well, your legs aren't strong enough. Well, they'll get stronger, he used to tell me. Even my aunt, in the beginning, he used to be on another horse and lead me just so I wouldn't have to steer or anything else either. So we did that, and then we got to cantering, and that took forever because I said, how come everybody else can sit down when they canter and all I do is bounce around? And he said, you'll get there, just keep working on it. And that's how we did things. We just kept working on it till we got where we wanted to be.
What an amazing dad, because as a parent, that's such a tightrope to walk, you know, because you're terrified your kid's going to get hurt, but you can't hold them back either. So that's fabulous.
He was very good with that, and he never showed if he was nervous about anything.
Right.
And when we would go to shows together, I didn't want to take my turn unless he was there. I mean, if he was there, I didn't want to start my course until I could see him. So I would ask everybody I knew. I'd trot around the field and say, have you seen my daddy? And they'd say, yeah, he's here, he's there. And I'd go find him, or he'd go find me. And because he always used to give me a kiss for luck, and then we would start.
Oh, that is so sweet. So tell me about writing your book. How long did it take you to write it?
It probably took a few months. I knew what I wanted to say, but I wanted to make sure that everything was fine, and that I said, you know, whatever I want, the things that I wanted to say in a way that children would understand, and it's sort of like having a conversation with them, so the book doesn't seem like it's all about me.
Right.
It's, I ask them questions like, what if you had something that you wanted to do, but there was an obstacle in the way, would you give up on your dreams, or would you keep trying? And then I told them about what I wanted to do and how I kept trying. Because that's the way you can get where you want to be.
Absolutely. And so what would you say was your largest obstacle when you were writing your book?
Just to make sure that I put everything in it that I wanted to put in. There was a lot of different adventures that we had on the farm. Like, there was some sad parts. Like, we had a barn fire and two of the horses passed away. And one of them was my mom's special pony stallion. Mm-hmm. He was an Arabian pony, and she was so attached to him. It was really hard for her to get over that, because they had such a good relationship. And I used to ride him when I was really little, and my dad trained him to do tricks and things, like he would sit down and lie down and play dead and count and do different things like that. And when I was about 7 years old, I was still not able to go in shows, but he wanted me to do something special. So he would take me on exhibitions with my mom's pony. And I'd ride around a little bit, and then he'd take me off and he'd show people how he did the tricks.
That is so cool.
And his name was Chiefy, and he was really special. Once when I was little, I fell off. I think he was cantering, and I fell right in between his front legs, and he stopped. He didn't step on me.
Oh, that is so sweet.
When I used to come and see him, I was too little to see over the top of the stall, so I used to knock on the door, and he would come to the front of the stall for me.
Oh, that is so cute. Now, back to your book, did you use a publisher? Did Gina publish your book?
Yes, she was the publisher and editor.
Okay, so Mundy Creek Publishing.
Yes.
Mundy Creek Publishing is a wonderful publishing company for you guys out there listening. Gina McKnight is amazing, and she publishes lots of horse stories, but she also publishes all kinds of other books as well. So if you're looking for a publisher, look her up, because she's worth the time.
Yes, I agree. She worked very hard on my book. And we have, instead of using illustrations from that book, we have real photos in there.
That's
so
nice.
People can see what my parents look like, and what the farm look like, and what one of my ponies look like, and what Peach look like. So that makes the book, I think, even a little more special.
And I love that idea.
13 different literary awards.
Wow. That is amazing.
Including Mom's Choice Award, and New Apple Solo Award, and Literary Titans, and 3 Firebird Awards, so lots of different awards.
Deanie, that is fabulous.
Thanks.
Is this your first book?
No, it wasn't my first book, but it was, my first book was called Tales of Sweetbriar, that my sister, Holly Humphreys-Bazash, she did illustrations for it, but this was like an updated version and had a lot more details in it.
Uh-huh.
So we changed the story completely. We put a lot more details. We put in the photos. So the story was altogether different. It kind of expanded. And so then Gina designed the covers and did the editing, and we put the book out.
That is fabulous. Now, how long has your book been out?
It came out 2017.
Okay. And so, how, I know Gina does a great job with marketing, and a lot of folks think that when their book comes out, you know, you only have that little short window, and then it's not going to sell anymore. But that's not true, is it?
No, I don't believe that's true. I think marketing is very important. You have to try to reach out to different people and just spread the word about your book. But I think that even when it's been out for a long time, you can get new fans and new people interested.
I wholeheartedly agree, because I always think, you know, there's, what, 1 billion people on the planet? Pretty sure everybody hadn't heard about it yet.
That's right. You can't. There's a lot of people who wouldn't know about other people's books.
Absolutely.
You have to keep working on that all the time.
What are some of the things that you've been doing to keep your book alive and marketable?
I just try to do as much marketing as I can with it, letting people know about it. I've done a lot of different interviews with different people, so I like to put the interviews on Twitter and on Facebook so people can read about it.
Uh-huh.
And just things like that. And I do have a marketing person who helps me with different ideas about how to do things.
For your social media marketing, have you found one entity to be better than another for your kids' books? I know it's kind of age-related which platform you use, so have you had do you have a good feel for that?
I just take the advice of my marketing person. Her name is Beth Coleman Werner, and she's had a lot of experience with marketing, and Gina helps a lot with marketing, too, because sometimes she makes new videos for me, mm-hmm. and I tell her if we get another award, and she puts it on her website. So we do things like that. I try to target it to people who might be interested in horses, and even in other countries like in England and Canada where people are interested in riding.
Right. Right. Well, Gina does an amazing job because I see things on LinkedIn and Facebook and all over the place, you know, from Gina because we're friends on Facebook. So your book is very much alive and out there.
Yes, we put it all the places we can think of, all those platforms and other ones if we can find them.
Yeah, sure. So, sure. TikTok and Instagram are really popular for a younger audience. So I'm sure that your marketing person uses those.
Yeah.
What's on your bucket list to do now?
Oh, we're working on a book. In fact, Beth, who's my marketer, she's also she edited my new book, and it's called Coco and Cream. It's about twin ponies named Coco and Cream.
Uh-huh.
And the adventures of Coco and Cream. It's remarkable twin ponies. That's the name of it. And so Beth is doing the editing now, and then my sister is doing the illustrations, and once she finishes those, it'll come out next year.
That's exciting. We'll be looking for it for sure.
It's really cute. It's a cute story about these little twin ponies, and their big thing that they want to do is teach children how to ride, and they talk.
Uh-huh.
And they're really cute. They have wild manes and big feet.
Oh.
My dad used to call them platter feet.
Right.
So the ponies say, oh, isn't that exciting? We have platter feet. That means that we're never going to have to wear uncomfortable shoes, and our feet aren't going to hurt because ponies with platter feet never have trouble with their feet.
Right, right. That's so cute. I cannot wait to read that.
I'll send you a picture from the book just so you can see what the ponies look like after we finish.
Do because, you know, I have six great grandchildren and they live in Utah and I don't get to see them a lot. And it's probably good because if I did, they'd be in a horse show every week. But I want them to know horses, you know, and know that how incredible they are.
Oh, they are. They all have different personalities, just like people.
Yes, very much so. So what advice would you give to writers that want to break into the children's writing industry?
I'd tell them to make sure that their book is edited by someone who really knows how to do it. Because even if you think you know how to edit your own book, it's hard because you look at it so many times that you miss things.
So right.
You need somebody else to look at it and make sure that you have the grammar right, that you have the tenses right, that you have enough conflict in it, and that you have a good ending, and that if people are going to be engaged, the children are going to be engaged in reading it. You don't want them to just start reading it and then say, well, this is no fun and not finish.
Right, right. And how many words are your usual children's books? What ages do you target?
Well, I even have picture books. So there's some picture books about my a little tractor named Wilbur,
uh-huh.
and those are for like 3 to 9 year olds.
Right.
But the other ones, Maybe I'd say like 7 to 10 or 7 to 12, depending on the book. But most of them have horses in them. The Wilbur series doesn't have horses, but all the other ones do.
Okay.
I have 8 of them all together.
Very, very nice. Now, how can people find your books?
I have a website called www.childrensbookswithlifelessons.com, and they're all there. They're on Amazon. Most of them are on Barnes & Noble. So it's easy to find me. Just put my name in, and the books will pop up.
Very nice. And it was Deanie, D-E-A-N-I-E, Humphreys. Done, correct?
Right, and Humphreys is H-U-M-P-H-R-Y-S, and then hyphen Dunne is D-U-N-N-E.
Very nice. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you this morning and learning about your book, and I'm going to look at them for Christmas gifts for my grandkids.
Oh, thank you. I hope they love them. I'd love to know what they think, because all the books with horses, the horses talk, and they're kind of funny.
Yeah, they're a big age range. So anybody out there looking for Christmas presents for your kids or your grandkids, this would be a good solution because they're good, clean reading and they're family oriented, and your kids will love them.
Definitely for families and children, and so we'd be honored if people pick them up and read.
Absolutely. Well, Deanie, thanks for being on the show, and you guys out there listening, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It was fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?